I have seen indigenous peoples whose rights to their lands are violated because of the expansion of agribusiness corporations like soya plantations, sugar cane, as well as expansion of cattle ranches. So that's one common thing I've seen. Secondly, there's also been a lot of violence against indigenous peoples because they are resisting the encroachments on their lands. You know, and thirdly, I also found out that, you know, in these countries, even if there are favorable decisions made by the Inter-American Court in human rights, like in Paraguay, there were two decisions, in Brazil as well, these decisions are not enforced by the state. This, in addition to that, to their dislocation, displacement from their lands, is also another cause of concern because favorable decisions are already done to give back the lands to them, but the enforcement is not done yet, and there is no compensation or remediation of the damage that has been done to them.
And what are your recommendations to protect the rights of the indigenous people?
Well, I think the state has the duty to protect the rights of indigenous peoples to their territories and lands, to their cultures. And the state must be able to do, you know, the necessary, enact the necessary legislation to protect these rights, but also have the capacity to enforce this legislation. You know, there are many laws that are very good in Latin America, and I see that the ratification of ILO Convention 169 has been done extensively. But again, the implementation and enforcement of this convention is still, there's still a very long way to go. So I think the states have to have the political will to respect those rights and to also recognize that indigenous peoples are not the problems for them. Indigenous peoples have contributed a lot in saving their work, the remaining forests in this region, the high biodiversity areas, you know, watersheds. And these are major contributions to development, but somehow these are not recognized. And instead of even rewarding them for that, their rights are being violated, and there's a lot of impunity against indigenous peoples as well.
What can we do to help them?
First of all, there really needs to be a strong effort on the part of the dominant society as well as the state to really map out those communities where the remaining forests are, for instance. Because from what I have seen, many of the remaining forests here in Mexico are really indigenous people's forests, no? So if this is true, and they are the ones who are conserving those forests to be able to sequester carbon from the atmosphere, then I think Mexico, in its nationally determined contribution to climate change, should respect the rights of these peoples to continue protecting this forest. I also have seen that many of the watersheds, you know, the important biodiversity hotspots also coincide with the sacred sites of indigenous peoples. So the rights of indigenous peoples to maintain those sacred sites, the right to continue their culture and spirituality in those sacred sites should be respected as well and protected.
Do you have some example of good practice
on consent? Well, yes, you know, I come from the Philippines, and I mentioned in my speech that the Philippines has a very good law which has very substantive references to free, prior, informed consent. So there are cases where the consent process has been done very well, and the indigenous peoples made the decisions whether they will accept, say, a hydroelectric dam, you know, a mini dam, or they will reject it, you know. And in some cases, they accepted. There is a case where a big mining corporation, an American corporation, wanted to mine a place in my region, actually. And the people did the consultation process. In the end, they agreed that they will not accept this company to operate in their land. So there are good practices, both in terms of indigenous peoples agreeing and carving out how to share the benefits, how to mitigate the bad social and environmental impacts.